So I cracked open last night. I'm just like, what are we in for, you know?
Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning, learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Rav David Sieben, Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Memhei. And we sort of already finished the parak, but I do want to go back and speak about something that we spoke a little bit about yesterday. So we'll get right into it. But first, a very good morning to Chana Chanachan, Rav Eliezer Dov, and Rav Dov Binyamin Ben Shneir Zalman Dunn. Must be a Friday morning. And Jeremy, and Reb Mordechai, and Svika in the car. And Avi, and Chaim, and Gershon Eitan, and Shlomo David. So, yesterday, we ended off finishing the parak. Basically, the Gemara was dealing with a contradiction in Brises. The Gemara had a contradiction in Brises, and we were giving various answers to answer the contradiction in the Brises. So yesterday, if you look at the really the beginning of today's daf, which we did yesterday also, so the Gemara gave a second answer to answer the contradiction in Brises. Says the Gemara, Ibai Seima, let's look from the top of Mem Hamad Aleph again, which is what we did yesterday, but we'll do it again. Ibai Seima, if you want, I'm going to give you a second answer. Ha da afgre ba'anpe train, vaha da afgre ba'anpe tlasa. The Gemara draws a distinction about whether or not you make hefker in front of two or hefker in front of three. Now, what is the contradiction in the brises? So one brisa that we learned in yesterday's daf, one brisa said, if a guy makes his field hefker, so for the first 3 days he can back out. But after 3 days, even if no one else acquired it, he can't back out. That was the resha. Even if nowhere else acquired it, then he cannot back out. However, the seifa said, if he said it should be hefker for 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, or 7 years, so then it's hefker until somebody else acquires it. But before anybody else acquires it, it's not hefker. That's the key point. That's the second half. We're asking the contradiction from the second half of the Raisa. That he could still back out until somebody else acquires it. So that was Bryce number one, said you could continuously back out until somebody else acquires it. But then in the second Bryce that we learned yesterday, we said a guy is mafkir his field at night. The next morning, he harvests the stuff and it's exempt from Misa right away. Nobody else got it yet, and it's exempt from Meiser. Sounds like it's Hefker right away. So the first Bryce said, no, it's not. It's not Hefker until somebody else grabs it. And then the second Bryce said it's Hefker right away. So we gave one answer in yesterday's daf, but in today's daf, the top of today's daf, let's pick it up again from the top of today's daf to do it again. Ibai Seima, another answer is, ha, the first brisa that said it's not hefker until somebody else grabs it, that's the afgre ba'anpe train. That actually made hefker in front of two people. The ha, but the brisa that says hefker right away is the afgre ba'anpe tlasa. If you made it hefker in front of three people, and the Gemara continues, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Mishum Ben Yehud Tzadok, Kol HaMafker B'fnei Shlosha Have Hefker, in front of three it is hefker, B'fnei Shnayim Lo Have Hefker. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, Neim Rishon Ben Yehud Tzadok. Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Amar No, Dvar Torah Afilu Be'echad Have Hefker. Midorais, it's hefker in front of one person. U'matam Amu B'shlosha, why did the rabbi say Midorabonin, you got to be mafker in front of three? K'dei She'echad Zoche U'shnayim Me'idin. So that you have one person acquiring the hefker and two people testifying. So I have a number of things to comment on this before we get into the three lines of the fifth parak. Few things. So first of all, the way the Ran learns the Gemara, my fundamental machlok is how to learn this Gemara, which has ramifications for all the rest of Shas also, about hefker in front of three people versus hefker in front of two people. There's a fundamental machlok in the Ran and the Rush. When the Gemara says hefker in front of two people does not work, does that mean it doesn't work at all as hefker? Or it just doesn't work yet until somebody else acquires it? So the Ran understands That's the way when I explained the Gemara yesterday, I was explaining based on the Ran. The Ran understands that Hefker b'fnei shnayim, it doesn't become, it's only partial Hefker b'fnei shnayim until someone else acquires it, and that's when it becomes fully Hefker. However, Hefker b'fnei shlosha, it becomes Hefker right away. That's the difference, that Hefker b'fnei shlosha becomes Hefker right away. Hefker b'fnei shnayim doesn't become Hefker until somebody else acquires it, so you could still back out in the middle. And if you back out, it turns out it was never Hefker, and therefore you chayiv in maisrus if you back out before somebody else grabs it. However, one of the main problems that the Rush has with this interpretation of the Ran is look at the words of the Gemara. What are the words of the Gemara? Amir Yom Shem Kol HaMafker b'fnei shlosha have Hefker, b'fnei shnayim lo have Hefker. The Rush says to the Ran, it says in front of two, it sounds like it's not Hefker at all. So the Ran understands that line, b'fnei shnayim lo have Hefker gomor. Right? B'fnei shnayim lo have Hefker. Dekeva deleka kala, there's no kol, adaita dedehu b'luchud afkere, v'dami lamatana. So he says, it's like it's not a full Hefker, since it's not public. If I'm the Rana understands like this, since if I make a Hefker in front of, again, the Rana assumes like this, if you mafker something in front of three people, there's a kol, everyone's going to find out about it, that's Hefker for everybody. But if I mafker something in front of two people, my intention is really only to give it to these two people. So it's more like a matana, it's not Hefker. So until these two people are Zocha, then it's not Hefker. Once they're Zocha, it's more like a matana. It's not Hefker. Gomer, it's sort of like a matana. That's his language over there. Now, but the Rush disagrees, and the Rush says, no, Hefker b'fnei shnayim is not Hefker at all. And even if someone else were to grab it, you could still back out because it's not Hefker at all. So that's point number one. Now, next point. So, and there's a machlokas achronim. Even when you're mafker in front of two, can somebody else really still acquire it? So the Noda Behuda writes, if you're mafker in front of two people, it is considered to be hefker. Somebody else can acquire it. But the Chasam Sofer says, no, hefker in front of two is me removing myself from it. It's a nesinas reshus for someone else to be zocha. And therefore, calls man that the other people are not zocha, I can still back out. And now when we say hefker in front of three people, that's a good hefker. What about three ketanim? Does that have to be three gedolim or even three ketanim? So that's a machlokas. Also, the Sefer Mishmaros Kahuna writes that if you're mafker in front of three, it's all to publicize it. So even three little kids, oh, you made it Hefker, Hefker Kaina. The kids used to play a game, Hefker Kaina. The kids know what Hefker means. So if it's just publicizing it, even three ketanim would be good enough. That's what it says. But others, the Shiurei Rabbeinu David writes, no, you need three people who are kasha le'edus, because the Gemara says the reason you need three is that people should be able to testify. So if people need to be able to testify, ketanim won't work. And the last thing is, what did the Gemara say over here? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishum Yotzadek. Kol hamafker b'fnei shlosha avihefker, b'fnei shnayim lo avihefker. Rav Shimon Levi says, no, afilu be'echad. So, what about if you just made something hefker to yourself, but there wasn't even one person there? So the question is, according to Rav Shimon Levi, that midoraisa hefker works even in front of one person. Is that even in front of one other person, or only in front of, or it means you? So, some want to prove the Rambam, says Rav Shimon Levi says, no, you need to do Hefker in front of one other person. Because look, we compare three to one. What does it say? Kol hamafker b'fnei shlosha have Hefker. Now, Rav Shimon Levi says, no, midrabbanan needs b'fnei shlosha. Why? So one guy zocha and two guys are made. So that means it's three people aside from you. So just like the three is three aside from you, the Rambam says the one is one aside from you also. So you need one other person. However, Tosfos says in Dibur HaMaskil Rebbe, it's small print. If you could take a look at the bottom Tosfos, it's actually four lines down. Rebbe Shimon Levi Yom Dvar Torah Filu Ba'achad Havi Hefker. He says, Pirsha Rabbeinu Tam, but towards the end, he says that it's even one person, that even without one person, even Beinot, look at the last line, bottom line. Avol, Lola, Lo bite plus ella kedem varish beino levein atzmo shaper dummy. So even if you do it by yourself, so that's another machlok we've shown him. Does hefker work if there's nobody else there? You're just by yourself. So Tosa seems to say by yourself, hefker in front of one person would work by yourself, and the Rambam seems to say that no, you need one other person there. You need one other person there.
So what's the point of hefker then, from Tosfos' standpoint? If I'm just saying it's hefker and no one knows it's hefker, then there's no, like, there's no one has a chance to take it.
Because they don't know about it.
Because no one knows about it, right.
Right. I think that's exactly the point. That's exactly the Rambam. Hold on, let me see. One second. So I'll read you over here from what I have in front of me over here. So I have here Das HaRambam Shemidoraisa Tzarech Lahavkil Lefachos Bifnei Echad. The Rambam says that you at least have to make hefker in front of one person. The Kesef Mishnah writes, the Rambam is medaktik in the Lashon of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Afilu be'echad have hefker. And from Umehem Shel Dov Shem Shem Levi, why do we say Bishlosha Echad Zochah Shnayim Me'idin? So to the end has to only be one. The Rush explains exactly as you said, Avi, that since Hefker's learned that from Shemitah, you need a possibility of everybody to be Zochah. And if nobody knows of the Hefker, so no one has the opportunity to actually be Zochah in it. However, Tosfos holds, and Rabbeinu Shimshon quoted by the Rush, and many other Rishonim hold, Midoraisa Hefka words even in front of you yourself. Look, I guess afterwards, Avi, you could tell somebody, by the way, I made this Hefka, you could tell somebody that.
Rabbeinu, but isn't like being Mafker something as much as getting it out of the owner's Rishus as it is letting the world know that it's free? Meaning, I don't want this anymore. So I don't have to tell anybody.
Right. That's the other side of the coin. You know, it's just because nobody knows about it doesn't mean I can't get rid of it. I can put it out by my my curb. I made it hefker. I put it out by the curb. I'm not interested. So once I'm misalik myself from it, then that could work, even if nobody else knows about it. I could afterwards tell somebody about it. Then there's a discussion whether it's only by karka or even by metaltolin. That's another discussion. Okay, let's begin the fifth parak.
So I've got my question.
Yeah.
So can a katana acquire the item on his own?
A katan,
yeah.
No, so a katan cannot make a kinyan midoraisa. He can't make a kinyan. No, katan cannot acquire it.
So then,
but I hear what you're saying, Avi. So then how come in front of three katanim it would work? Yes, because the Gemara says the reason you need three is echad zoicha. So that's true that Tosis Shita B'chol HaShas is that with Das Acheres Makne, if I can give the Katan a gift, yeah, but in this case, if I make it Hefker, so then I'm not really giving it to the Katan. So how does that work? If it's just to publicize it, that's the point, I think. If there's three, right, the Gemara here says you need one person to be Zochas, and then a Katan wouldn't work for that Dinder Rabbanan. But if you hold, if it's just to publicize it, then I could see how the Katan would work. Let's see. Let me just see who talks about that. If it's just to publicize it, it's even for a ketanim. Right. Shira Yadav says, no, has to be kasher la'ayid. Yes, yeah, so you're saying another reason why you need three. If you get the edus, you need somebody to be able to acquire it. Yeah, I hear that also. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's begin the fifth parak. Now, the fifth parak is also going to discuss laws of somebody who swears not to get hana from somebody else. And the Mishnah is going to talk about three things. We're not going to do the whole Mishnah today, but we'll do the first part of the Mishnah today. If two people own a piece of property together, and I swear not to get any benefit, we're partners, and I swear not to get any benefit from you in this property, I swear not to get any benefit from you, period, and we're partners in this property, so can I walk into the property? We're partners. And I say I'm not going to get benefit, but I'm a partner. So is that considered to be me getting benefit from you or no? I'm not getting benefit from you. I'm going into my chelik of this property. But we all own the whole thing. So how do you view that? That's going to be the main thing we're talking about today. So let's jump right into it. Hashutfin shenadju hanazem mizem. Two partners who each of them swore not to get any benefit out of the other one. I don't know how great a partnership that's going to be, but they're partners, but they each swore, they got into a fight, I'm not going to get any benefit from you. So Tanakama says, Asurin likanes lechatzer. So a chatzer that we both own in partnership, Tanakama says that neither of them is allowed to enter into this property that they own in partnership, because Tanakama understands there's really two points that are, well, let's make three points here in the opinion of Tanakama. Number one, the Ran says we're talking here about a property that is less than 8 amos by 4 amos. It's a courtyard that's less than 8 amos by 4 amos, meaning it's what we call in Bava Basra, a sada she'ein ba din chaluka. It's not something that if we wanted to divide it up, we could divide it up, because the minimum size property that if we wanted to divide it up, we could divide it up would be less than 8 by 8, which would be more than 8 by 8, which would mean each of us would get a minimum of 4 amos by 4 amos. 4 amos by 4 amos is considered to be the minimum size of a usable space, the minimum usable space. So if it's more than 4 by 4 for each of us, which would be more than 8 by 4, so that's a sada sheyesh ba din chaluka. That, if we wanted to split a cap. So the way the Ran understands, if it's 8 by 4, everyone would agree that we cannot go into it. Everyone agreed that we cannot go into it. The only machlokas we can present in the mission between Tanakam and Rabbi Ben Yaakov is if it's less than 8 by 4, so it's less badin chaluka. So we're talking about a field that's less than 8 by 4. In this case, Tanakama says I'm not allowed to go into it, and Rabbi Ben Yaakov Omer, Zen Nichnas Asok Shalom, Zen Nichnas Asok Shalom. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I might have said the other way around, but the Ran says no. The Ran says if it's less than 8 by 4, that's where there's machlokas. But if it's more than 8 by 4, everyone agrees you're not allowed, neither of us are allowed to go into it. Now, why is this? What's the root of the dispute over here? So, to say Tanakama, you have to say two ideas to explain why Tanakama says we're not allowed to go into that. Because, right, why does Tanakama say you're not allowed to go into it? Why can't I say that when I'm going into it, I'm going into my chelek? I'm going into my portion. So why, right? If I'm a partner, so I'm entitled to use my half of this, right? So why am I benefiting from you? So you have to say two things. So the first thing you have to say is that in order for me to walk into this field, especially because it does not have a din chaluka, I'm not only using my portion, but when I'm going in, I'm also using your portion. I'm benefiting from your portion as well, because you own, in other words, every molecule of this field is owned by both of us. So when I walk in to this field, I'm not only benefiting from my chelek of it, I'm benefiting from your chelek. I have rights to go into my chelek, but I have a lien on your chelek of it so that I'm able to use your chelek as well as a partner. And the neder, by your allowing me to go in, so I'm benefiting from your property, from your chelik in the property, because your chelik in the property is mishubud. There's a lien, L-I-E-N, there's a lien on your chelik to allow me to use my chelik, and that's the part that I'm benefiting from you. That's one thing I have to say, because Nedarim are mafkia midei shibud, right? A neder is mafkia midei shibud. The fact that I made a neder not to use anything from you, that uproots the lien that I have on your side of the property benefit. That's one thing you have to say. But the other thing you have to say is that the chachamim hold ein breira, ein breira. What in the world does breira have to do with this? Because at the time when you and I become partners of something, so there's a question about whether we would say that every time I now use it, do we now say that retroactively this became my day to use it? Now, how do you view a partnership? How do you view a partnership? Do we say, okay, we're partners, so there's, let's say there's 6 days a week. Shabbos, let's say we're not going to use it, whatever it is. But 6 days a week, so 3 days a week, the whole thing is mine. So I'm not benefiting from you, it's mine. So if you say yesh breira, so that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who says that we're allowed to walk in, I'm allowed to walk in, he holds yesh breira. What's breira? Retroactive determination. Do we say that on the day that it comes out, if I use it on Sunday and you use it on Monday, we're partners, so it turns out that when we originally bought it, this time that I'm now using it, it's all mine, it's not yours at all. That would be yesh breira. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I'm allowed to go into the property because yesh breira. Yesh breira means when I go into the property, it's retroactively determined that this is my chalik now. It's totally mine. That when we originally went into the partnership, the idea would be that anytime I'm in it, it's totally mine. And anytime you're in it, it's totally yours. So I'm not benefiting from you. I'm just in my chalik. So if you say yesh breira, then I'm allowed to go into it if I swore not to get a benefit because I'm not getting benefit from you. This is my chelek. But if you say ein breira, that's Tanakhama says ein breira. No, we don't say retroactive determination. We don't say that at the time that we acquired it. The idea would be that at the time that I'm using it, it's totally mine, and at the time that you're using it, it's totally because we have no idea when I'm going to use it and when you are going to use it.
Say that about the whole thing or just that one spot?
Oh, so that's actually a Machlokas Rishonim about whether or not we say the whole thing is owned by both of us or only my or half of it is owned by both I only own my half or do I own the whole thing? That's a different discussion. But the Breira discussion is, do we say at the time that we purchased it I acquired it al-das that at the time that I'm using it, it's all mine. It's all mine. So if you say ein breira, we do not say that at the time of the purchase, we assume that at the time that I'm using it, it's all mine. No. It's from Israel calling. Recording resumed. Good, I caught it in time. So we don't say that. And therefore, I can't, the whole thing is owned by both of us. We don't say, when I'm going in, now it's only mine. And when you're going in, it's only yours. No, at all times, the thing is owned by both of us. That's ein breira.
So if you say yesh breira, you can't go in together.
Well, if you say, well, unless I let you. If you say yesh breira, so I have my days and you have your days. And during my days, you're not allowed to go in at all. And during your days, I'm not allowed to go in at all. So if you say, I'm the full owner on my days and you're, maybe that's the question is, how do we view a partnership? Do we view a partnership as we're always both owning it? Or do we view a partnership? No, when I'm in it, it's all mine. And when you're in it, it's all yours.
We say it's retroactive though, right?
So yeah.
If we both show up the same day, who could go in? Monday's not mine until I go in, and then Monday becomes mine.
No, so I think the question is, even if we decide later that I'll go in on Monday, you'll go in on Tuesday, the question is, do we view that as the original division from the beginning? So we'll do a little more. Ushneim, a little bit more. Ushneim asurim lahamid rechayim v'tanur. However, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that they're both asur to put something permanent in that courtyard. If I swear not to get hana from you, and you swear hana not to get hana from me, we're both asur to put an oven in there or a grindstone. Ulagadal tarnagolim, or to raise chickens there. Because if anybody would be makbid on that, I could prevent you from doing that. And even though the derech is not not to be makbid on these things. It's asr because even this type of thing that's considered to be me getting hana from you. Haya echad mehem mudr hana mechaveiro. If only, let's say only one of the partners swore not to get benefit from his friend. Lo yikanes l'chatzer. So then haya echad mehem mudr hana mechaveiro. Lo yikanes l'chatzer. If one of the partners swore not to get benefit from his friend, so he shouldn't go into the chatzer. That one, the guy who swore not to get benefit from the other partner, so he can't walk into the chatzer. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Omer, Yochel Omer Lo, L'sok Sheli Ani Nichnas, V'ein Nichnas L'sok Shelcha. Same thing, right? This is also a machlokas. Same machlokas. That if one of them, so then he can't go in. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, no. He could say to his friend, so shall any nechas. No, I'm just going into my chelik. Ve'im nechlas so shall cha. Since he holds yesh brera, so we say he can walk in. Last point. If only one of them swore not to get benefit from the other one, kofen es hanoder limkar es chelko. If one guy swore not to get benefit, so we force the guy who swore not to get benefit from his end, he should sell his share of the partnership to somebody else. Why? Because we're afraid that over time, if only one partner swore not to get benefit and the other one didn't, he's not going to be able to hold himself back. Hey, the other guy's allowed to walk in the whole time to the partnership, but I'm not allowed to walk in, so we're afraid he's not going to be able, he's going to be jealous of the fact that his partner's allowed to walk in, he's not allowed to, so we tell him he should sell his chelek to somebody else. Last line, one more line. Haya echad min ashuk mudr be'echad mehen. Let's say there was a third party that swore not to get benefit out of one of the partners. Mudr be'echad hana lo yikaris l'chatzer. So this third party can't walk into the field because he's asar on one of them. Rabbi Lozman Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, who said in the Mishnah Yesh Beira, Yachal lo merlo. He could say to that partner, no, I'm walking into the other guy's chelek. I'm not walking into your chelek. Because again, he holds yesh brera. And therefore, when he's going in, it belongs to the other guy. Okay, we will stop here. And we'll pick this up as Hashem from the Mishnah tomorrow. Have a great day.